we continue this journey in thinking about bread of life. And we turn to 1 Corinthians 10, verses 14 through 22. It's kind of a different passage, and hopefully I'll do a decent job of explaining where we're at and why we're there. But it says this, "Therefore, my dear friends, flee from idolatry. I speak to sensible people. Judge for yourselves what I say. It is not the cup of thanksgiving for which we give thanks, a participation in the blood of Christ, and is not the bread that we break a participation in the body of Christ. Because there is one loaf, we who are many are one body, for we share the one loaf. Consider the people of Israel. Do not those who eat the sacrifices participate in the altar? Do I mean then that food sacrificed to an idol is anything or an idol is anything? No. But the sacrifices of pagans are offered to demons, not to God. I do not want you to participate with demons. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons too. You cannot have both, you cannot have a part in both the Lord's table and the table of demons. We are trying to arouse the Lord. Are we trying to arouse the Lord's jealousy? Are we stronger than He?" This is a word of God. It's a different kind of passage. And I want you to think really about this whole idea that there is one loaf. We who are many are one body, for we share the one loaf. But in order to focus on that whole idea of one loaf, that we are many but one body, and that we share in that one loaf, we need to understand a little bit about what's going on at the church of Corinth, all right? That as, again, we listen to this passage, as we read this passage, we understand that there are a few things that are going on. First of all, idolatry. Not uncommon within these times, as Paul writes the church at Corinth, that there's a lot of idolatry, where these man-made figures, these man-made beings, statues, whatever they might be, were being worshipped in some way by people. And they were drawing large crowds and, again, a lot of attention. Again, a very pagan kind of atmosphere. And people were drawn into, again, these idols, but they were not godly in any sense. They were, again, man-made. They were, again, something of this world. They were not something of the living God of the people of Israel. And so Paul speaks about this problem of idolatry and living into that idolatry. But also, there was a problem of division. That as you read this passage, you find out in that second part that even amongst this whole idea of idolatry, the idea that maybe I worship this God or you worship that God, even those who were following Christ in some way were struggling, and they were being drawn into maybe one little piece of an idol here or a piece of an idol there. And Paul speaks to the fact that amidst the people, whether they be pagans or whether they be people who are trying to follow Christ, there is indeed division. And within that division, you can't succeed. You can't be at the table for both a demon and a living God. You can't break the bread of both a demon and the living God. And so in some ways, that all needs to be rectified and pulled together. And Paul looks at this world and says to the church at Corinth, you've got to stop with the whole idol thing. You've got to be able to cease with the division and focus in one living God. And yet again, it's so difficult in our world because so many people, again, have so many opinions. I'd heard the story once of a pastor who kind of sat on a Sunday morning and looked back and thought, man, you know, what a great day. He thought to himself, it's been a beautiful day. It's been a day where the people gathered together, a day in which we all kind of worshiped together, a day in which we had Sunday school together, a day in which they broke bread together and had a lunch, and he was really feeling good, and he thought to himself, you know, again, good sermon, good worship, you're pretty good, you know, you're doing a good job. And as he was leaving church, he ran into a family, and he looked at one of the young kids, and he said, again, in that pastoral kind of mindset, you know, well, what did you think about my sermon today? And the little boy looked at him and real honestly said, well, I thought it was about an hour long, he said. Again, differences of opinion. Differences of opinion of what is and what will be. And that's what's going on in Corinth. Some are worshiping a living God. Some are worshiping demons. Some believe that the demons are an answer. Some believe that the living God is the answer. Some are living in the midst and in the middle and saying, well, I'll play both sides of the fence just to hedge my bet, and we'll do a little for the demon, we'll do a little for the living God. And it's a mess. And Paul says it's got to stop. And that's where we come back to this idea where there is one loaf. We who are many are one body, for we all share the one loaf. You see, the answer comes by way of Christ. And again, as we think about this in our world, and as we focused on this idea of a living God and a living bread of life, we need to realize that we have to focus on Christ and Christ alone. Now, I wish I could say to you that that's easy, but we live in a world in which there are many who say that they have the answers. We live in a world in which the idea of being pluralistic, or again, playing both sides of the fence, is very open and opportune. We live in a world in which many people say there is not one truth. And yet when we look at Scripture, and when we look at the stories in history, and when we look at the story of Christ, we see that this is a story that continues to ring true generation after generation, century after century, and we see that again, God continues to reach out through this story, and this is a message of salvation. It's not what we need to do, it's not an offering we need to offer up, but it's that Jesus came to be the offering so that we might live. It is the ultimate story of grace, it's the ultimate story of love. It is the ultimate story of a living God saying, I want to be in relationship with my creation. And it's there in which we need to hold on to this as we move towards Easter, this idea that we've got to get rid of the pagan. We've got to get rid of the stuff that pulls us away from Christ and Christ alone. And it's not, again, easy. And again, it is not simple. But I would challenge each of us to take a look this week especially at what idols do we have within our life. We can easily say again, well, that was Corinth. And back then, oh, you had the Gnostics, and you had these, and you had those, and you had the Jews, and you had this, and you had that. But we do the same thing. And maybe it's not only religion per se. Maybe it's other things that we make idols in our lives that pull us away from Christ. Maybe it is something like sports. The idea that, hey, if we can achieve, then we can be like this basketball tournament right now, and we can be the Final Four, the dynamic duo. I don't know what they call the last two, all right? We can be national championships, and we make this an idol in our lives. Or maybe it's wealth, or maybe it's power, or maybe it's popularity, or maybe it's looks, and we walk around with Glamour magazine or Vogue or GQ or whatever it might be, and we say, this is the answer. You see, the idols are still alive in our world today. They may look different, they may have different names, but they say the same thing, and that is, I'm the answer, not Christ. And we make ourselves aware of it, but we try to play both sides of the fence. I can love Jesus, but I can also really love money. I can love Jesus, but I can love and commit myself to me and I and the way I look. We play both sides, but Paul says, hey, folks, we can't. It's one loaf. It's one body. It is, again, us coming together as a people of God. And that's what it needs to be. So how is it that we get rid of the idols today, here and now, within our lives? But then we come to this whole division thing. I don't know about you, but our world is divided. If you take a look, there are so many opinions, it's not even funny. We're in that cycle of an upcoming election year. We're in that cycle of listening to politicians, and there is division within our nation. We listen to people who represent different cultures, and there's division. We look at our world, and there is division. And we look at the church, and there is division. The church with a big C, divided. The church universal, divided. Our denomination, divided. In some ways, within our own walls here at North Park, there is division here and there about this or that. Because sometimes that's human nature, that we become divided. And again, as long as we focus on idols, and as long as we focus on what we believe is right or wrong, and forget about Christ, division is an easy thing to have happen. And division is something that can raise itself up and destroy churches and societies and school systems and teams, and you name it, it can indeed destroy and kill rather than bring life. And Paul makes it clear that there is one place in which we find that security, that wholeness, and that is that one loaf. It is where that is, that one body. It's where we share that same loaf. He doesn't say we have to be all the same, because it says clearly that, again, we're different, but we come together in one loaf. We come together in one cup. We come together because of Christ and Christ alone. And so not only should we think about this idea of what is it that gets in the way of us knowing Jesus better, what is it that's our idol in the world? But what is it that divides us from other people? What is it that tears us up and tears our relationships apart? Because it's not what God wants. Not only here, sitting in these pews, not only in the church, okay, universal, but I truly believe that God doesn't want it in our neighborhoods. That God doesn't want it in our school systems. That God does not want us, you and I, to be people who bring division into sports teams, into friendships, into classrooms, into workplaces. But we are called to be people who bring community, who bring the idea of family, who bring the idea of those who are lost, those who are struggling. Exactly who Paul is talking about. Those who are trying to live on both sides of the fence. Those who are looking for acceptance. Those who are lost and lonely. We're called to be the people who say, one loaf. One body. That there is a living God who died for you. That there is a living God with a story of hope for you. That we are called to be people who bring people into community, bring people into family, bring people into the family of Christ, rather than being divisive, rather than being negative, rather than being hurtful, rather than being judgmental, we are called to be people who bring people in and bring them into a relationship with Christ. One loaf, together. You see, it doesn't matter if we're, again, whole wheat, rye, sourdough. It doesn't matter if we're black or white or Hispanic. It doesn't matter whether we're male or female, young or old. It doesn't matter if we're rich or poor. None of that matters. All of that is divisive, and none of it matters. What matters is the living bread of life, Jesus Christ. What matters is that we come together centered around that. And that's what can change our world. We get rid of the idols. We get rid of the divisive thoughts and ideas that are ours. And we focus on the bread of life. We focus on that one loaf. We focus on the one who enters Jerusalem this day, the one who willingly again went before the leadership and faced humiliation. We focus on the one who willingly was abused and beaten, ultimately hung on a cross. We focus on the one who didn't think about who he liked or didn't like, didn't think about his political position one way or the other, didn't think about whether or not people were from his tribe or not from his tribe, but simply died so that all might live. That we might have that same idea. That we might be willing people to lay down that which divides and pick up that common loaf. Where we are all brought together. Where we all experience grace. And that that might be what we worship. Not the idols of this world. Not the things that pull us away. But that one common message of one loaf that can change the world. One cup that can bring a New Testament to our lives. One Savior, one Lord who can bring us home for all of eternity. Again, a pastor told a story about his busy life. And again, his children, young, were very aware of that busy life. One day he's out and about and he's, you know, making calls and meeting with people and doing the things pastors do. And his children would always ask, well, where's Dad and what's going on? And you know, is he making calls? Is he at the funeral home? Is he at the hospital? And one day, you know, the pastor decided that it was time to maybe do something a little different, although he enjoyed doing it. And so he took the afternoon and he signed up and he was going to give blood. And so, you know, he wasn't home. His children looked at his wife and said, well, where's Dad? Where's Dad? Is he at the hospital? Is he at the funeral home? Is he calling on people? And his wife looked at him and said, no, he's giving blood. And the kids looked at her and said, well, now do they know that it's grape juice and not really blood? It's the blood of Christ that we remember this week. That he willingly shed his blood, not grape juice, but blood, so that we might live. It is the week of that bread of life, where we remember that Jesus gave his body so that we might live and have eternal life. There is no division on this. That is the story. That is the message. From the beginning of time where God has said, I want a relationship with you forever. And Jesus is the ultimate example and the ultimate gift that brings us into that eternal relationship with God. So this week, get rid of the idols. Get rid of the things that get in the way and get close to that common loaf and that cup. this week, look at your life and see if you're one who brings division or brings unity, one who brings separation or one who brings community. And know that God wants people in one loaf, in one cup, of all different backgrounds coming together to know Christ as that one Savior and Lord. I don't care if you're rye or wheat or white or split top or buttered top or what kind of bread, one loaf, one God, one Savior, one Lord. Amen.